In the last shiur, we discussed the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Chav Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah records machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachomim regarding Shor Hamazik Birshus HaNizak. That's Keren Birshus HaNizak. And the question is, do you pay Chatzi Nezik? That's the Chachomim. Do you pay Nezik Sholim according to Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon says that just like Shein V'Regel, you pay Nezik Sholem in Rishus HaNizak, then certainly, how much more so, Keren. Keren is more Chomor than Shein insofar as Rishus HaRabim is concerned. Shein V'Regel Apturim Rishus HaRabim. Keren is Chayav Rishus HaRabim. Even though it's only Chatzi Nezik, but you see clearly that Keren is Chomor, Shein is Kal, and therefore when we get to Rishus HaNizak, how much more so should Keren, which is more Chomer B'chayev, in Rishus HaNizak, Nezek, Sholem? Of course, the Chachomim object because of the principle of Dayel of Oven Adin, Lios Kenidon, meaning in a Kal V'chomer, you can't go beyond the Melamed. And since Keren B'Rishus HaRabim is going to be critical here in this Kal V'chomer, the logic is based on the fact that the Chumra of Keren B'Rishus HaRabim, then Mimokum Shebosa, if you're coming from Keren B'Rishus HaRabim, then the maximum you could be Chayev is Chatzi Nezek. You cannot be Mechayev Him Nezek Sholem in Rishus HaNizak, in the case of Tam, based on the Chiyuv of Tam in Rishus HaRabim, which is only Chatzi Nezek. That's called Dayel of Omen Adin. And now we start the Gemara here on the top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. And I'm sorry, please correct that. On the top of Chav Hei Amud Aleph. And here, we want to know, Rabbi Tarfon Lesle Dayo. Does Rabbi Tarfon, in fact, reject this principle of Dayo, which is so fundamental in Hilchas Kal V'chomer? V'ho midaraisahu, v'adayo midaraisahu. Dayo itself is derived from the parash of Kal V'chomer in the Torah. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, it's called the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. Midin Kal V'chomer Ketzad. What is the source of the Kal V'chomer in the Torah? Notice the fact that we have such a limud, Rabbi Shmuel has Shlosh Sei Midos, one of them is Kal V'chomer. Where is the Torah origin for Kal V'chomer? And that's going to be the parasha of, at the end of Baloscha, of Tumas Tzaras of Miriam. You remember, of course, that Miriam spoke about the Isha Kushis that Moshe Rabbeinu took as a wife. And the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, V'yavia yorok yorak b'faneha, halo tikolem shivas yomim, Now, the Pasuk speaks about Avia Yorok Yorak Bifaneha, and as a result, Tikolem Shivas Yomim. The Avia Yorok Yorak Bifaneha is what's called a Nezifa, or Ponim Zoaphos. Nezifa is meaning when a person is shunned. And that was symbolically represented by the father who Yorok Yorofaneha. He spits, and that indicates that he is Nozef. And it's a kind of Richuk, to push somebody away. Now, as a result, the Pasuk says, Tikolim Shivas Yomim. In other words, there's no Nezifa, this is Gemara Bava Kama, Pachos Mishivas Yomim. The word tikolim here is the richuk, the embarrassment that's resultant from this nezifa. And when a person gets this kind of a nezifa, he's going to be pushed away for at least 7 days. For example, in Yoredeya, in Siman Shin Lamed Dalid, in Hilchas Avelus, you'll see that the Avil is considered, in a sense, meruchak. He's far away. and it means he's locked up in his house, and he has to be mamayit in dibur and schok and asokim. This is called lios nichlam. Nichlam means as a result of nezifa, a 7-day period in which you are sort of quarantined. And now, kal vachomer lishchina. What happens if there's a nezifa from shchina itself? If in a father's case of a nezifa vis-a-vis his daughter, as a result of yarok yarak, is tikalim shivas yomim, the father shows towards his daughter, he displays this nezifa of panim zoafos, and she's nichlemes in a richuk, in his nisuf of 7 days, kavachomer, in the case of shechina, when the shechina gives what's called a nezifa richuk, then it should be twice as bad, tikalim arbaasar yom, multiply it by 2, 7 times 2 is 14. And this is the kal vachomer that teaches us that the nezifa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this case, Moshe is telling Miriam through HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she's tisager. So the question is, Ella, why then is does the Torah say tisager shivas yomim? Based on this kal vachomer, it should be 14 days. And the answer is dayo levomna din lios kenidon. In other words, if the din of nezifa in the case of shechina is derived of the kal vachomer for nezifa in the case of the father, then dayo nezifa in the case of shechina, which is derived from nezifa of the father, cannot be more chamor than the case in the Zifa Yidei Aviha. The Zifa Yidei Aviha is 7 days, and therefore the Torah went out of its way to tell me Shivas Yomim Tisogya, Tisogya Shivas Yomim, to teach me Dayo, which means that the Tikolem situation, Tisogya situation, is limited by the Kal, by the Malamed, which is Nezifas Aviyah, which is Tikolim Shivas Yomim, to teach us that Dayo Levomen Adin Lios Kinodon. So here we have this halacha of Dayo, this principle of Dayo, which is derived from the Torah itself. The Torah went out of its way to say Tisoga Shivas Yomim, to teach me Dayo. How then can Rabbi Tarfon derive Keren B'Shus HaNizak Nezek Sholim with a Kal Vachomer from Keren B'Shus HaRabim, which is only Chatzi Nezek, that violates the principle of Dayo? And the Gemara answers, Ki Lesle Dayo. There are two categories of a Kal Vachomer with Dayo. In one, we do apply Dayo, and we want the others. We do not. When does Rabbi Tarfon reject Dayo? Hecha de Mifrach Kal Vachomer. If by applying the din of, or the rule of Badayo, you are left without a Kal Vachomer, you're left bereft, completely a null set as far as the Kal Vachomer doesn't teach you anything. In such a case, Rabbi Tarfon says, I reject Dayo in favor of the Kal Vachomer. So if there's a head-on collision, life or death, between the Kal Vachomer and Dayo, Kal Vachomer will live and Dayo will step aside, will die. But hecha delo mifrach kal vachomer. But if I apply dayo, but I'm still left with the kal vachomer, then isle dayo. That's when the Torah taught us in the parasha of Sgiras Miriam that we apply the principle of dayo. And Rabbi Tarfon agrees; he doesn't deny dayo. The hasam there in the case of Miriam. Shiva de Shechina lo ksiva. The Torah says not a word about the nezifa of Shechina. And therefore the Kal Vachomer is going to establish at least 7 days of Tisager Shivas Yomim of the nezifa of Shechina. And Asa Kal Vachomer, the Kal Vachomer logically should prove Isar Besar. We should double it in the case of Shechina based on the Kal Vachomer of Aviyah to 14. Asa Dayo, now the Torah goes out of its way to say Shivas Yomim, to teach me the principle of Dayo. Apik Shiva Vyoke, Shiva takes 7 out and leaves 7 in. The Kal Vachomer is still meaningful to derive the minimum Hezger of 7 days. And therefore I can apply Dayo, because Dayo doesn't completely destroy and undermine the Kal Vachomer of Al-Hacha. But here in the case of Keren, Bechatzah Nizak, is Chatzi Nezik Siv. We already have Chatzi Nezik in the Torah with regard to Keren B'Shus Arabim, which certainly applies both Pershus Rabbim and Rishus HaNizak. There's no reason to limit the Chiyuv of Keren Tama of Chatzi Nezik to Rishus HaRabbim, applies equally to Rishus HaNizak. V'yosa kalvachom v'yaisi Chatzi Nezik achrina v'nasa Nezik sholem. Rabbi Tarfin's point is that we already have in the Torah Chatzi Nezik. The purpose of this kalvachomer is to establish that Pechatz HaNizak Tam pays Nezik sholem. I darshtit dayo. If you apply the principle of Dayu, Africhle Kalvachomer, you turn the Kalvachomer into a pile of dust. It becomes absolutely meaningless, and we derive nothing from the Kalvachomer. So now we have a life or death situation in the confrontation between the Kalvachomer and Dayu. And in such a situation, where it's a pircha to the Kalvachomer, completely undermining it, and reducing it to naught, then we forfeit the principle of Dayo. That's not the case in the original Dayo of Hezker Shivas Yom of Miriam. The Gemara now asks for Rabbanon. The Rabbanon themselves apply Dayo even in the case of a Pircha to the Kal Vachomer, which undermines and completely vitiates the Kal Vachomer. Why didn't they accept the distinction of Rabbi Tarfon between the original Dayo in the case of Hezger Miriam Shivas Yomim, where at least the Kal Vachomer establishes something even after the Dayo, and the case of Nezek Sholim Bershus HaNizak? And the Rabbanon answer the following: Shiva Dishchina Ksive. Because even in the case of the Hezger of Miriam, we know from the Torah itself, even without the Kal Vachomer, that the Hezger of Shivas Yomim, because of the Nazif of Shechina, is a requirement. Because the Pasuk says, Tisoger Shivas Yomim Chutz L'machna. So that's explicit in the Torah. That's Mefurash, Lehedra. What I need the Kal Vachomer for is to upgrade it from 7 to 14. That's the whole essence of the Kal Vachomer. And if Dayo applies in this case, then it means even if the pircha, the Kal Vachomer through Dayo, the Kal Vachomer is completely upslugged and it's converted to nothing, then we still apply the principle of Dayo. So Dayo has the power to be porech es kol Kal Vachomer. You know, this whole Kal Vachomer from Nezifas Av to Nezifas Shechin is completely gone as a result of Dayo, because the Shivas Yomim that we know from the Kal Vachomer is completely omitted, because the original Shivas Yomim that we know, because the Torah says Tisoger Shivas Yomim, the Kal Vachomer is meant to jump from 7 to 14 through the principle of Dayo. The Kal Vachomer becomes completely meaningless or powerless. So the Gemara asks now, what about Rabbi Tarfon? Because the Chachamim have established, l'chora, that Dayo works as a total pircha of the Kal Vachomer, and therefore in the case of the increment between Chatzin Ezek and Ezek Sholim, between Keren B'Shus Ram and Keren B'Shus HaNizak, the Dayo is going to completely undermine that Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Tarfon understood Tisoger Shivas Yomim in a different way. Rabbi Tarfon distinguishes between Dayo in the case of Hezger Miriam, which is not a pircha on the Kal Vachomer, because I still need the Kal Vachomer to establish Shivas Yomim, as opposed to Keren Chotz B'Shus HaNizak, where the Kal Vachomer is going to be completely undermined by Dayo. You'll ask me the kash that the Rabbanan ask, What about the pasuk Tisagya Shivas Yom Chutz L'Machne? Hahu, that pasuk is not coming to teach that Hezger ben Zifas Shchina Shivas Yomim, but rather the Darshin and Dayo. Who? The purpose of that pasuk is to establish Dayo. That's exactly what the Torah wants to say, that although you can derive Hezger of Miriam from the Kal V'Chomer, but you have to stop at Shivas Yomim. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon reads, Tisoga Shivas Yomim means Dayo, that she should have Shivas Yomim like Nezif HaSa'av. And don't use the Kal V'Chomer completely to jump all the way over to 14, but rather use it partially only to the number 7, but not beyond. V'Rabbanon. Now we go back to the Rabbanon. This is the ping pong game here. Tisoga Shivas Yomim Chutz L'Machne. They're going to use that pasuk to establish that Nezifa Shechina generates a Hezger Shivas Yomim. Then, if that be the case, what is the source for Dayo? Bishlam, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the source for Dayo is the pasuk Hezger Shivas Yomim. But the Rabbanon are using Hezger Shivas Yomim to establish the basic Hezger of 7 days in the case of Nezifas Shechina. So the Gemara answers, Rabbanon have a different pasuk to teach Dayo. Ksiv Krach Rina, a different pasuk. In the same context, it says, Vatisogir Miriam Michutz L'machne Shivas Yomim. The Torah has to tell us that the Hezgir of Miriam was Shivas Yomim, not 14 days, in order to teach us the principle of Dayo. So now the Gemara goes back and asks on Rabbi Tarfon, V'Rabbi Tarfon, why doesn't he need this pasuk to teach Dayo? He doesn't need, right, V'Rabbi Tarfon, he doesn't need to derive the principle of Dayo from this extra pasuk, Vatisogya Miriam, etc. Why? Because he derives from the pasuk Tisogya Shivas Yomim Chutz L'Machne the principle of Dayo, as we said before, meaning not to jump all the way to 14. So why then does the Torah have to say Vatisogya Miriam Chutz L'Machne Shivas Yomim? What is that coming to teach us? Hahu, that pasuk of Vatisogya Miriam Chutz L'Machne Shivas Yomim is coming to teach us that filu bi'alma darshinon, that even in other cases of Kal V'Chomer, we're going to apply the principle of Dayo, v'lo tomar, because in the Havmi we would have said that Dayo is limited, hacha, to this special, exceptional case of Hezger Miriam, mishum kvodo shel Moshe. Moshe, after all, stood up and he prayed on behalf of Miriam. And we would say that the reason why the Torah whittled down with Dayo the Hezger Shivas Yomim of Miriam to 7 days, that Dayo principle works here in this context only because of Kvodo Shel Moshe, that the Tzaras should not go, the Hezger Tzaras should not go beyond 7 days. That's why the Torah adds the principle, the limiting principle of Dayo, meaning if not for the variable of Kvodo Shel Moshe, Enochinami, the Kal V'Chomer would have taken me all the way to 14 days. The Torah goes out its way to whittle it down to 7 days, not because of Dayo, but because of Kvodo Shel Moshe. Therefore, Bi'alma and other drushas, lo means lo nemar din Dayo. There's no din of Dayo. Kamash, when the Torah repeats itself here again, Vatisogi Miriam Chutzabach Shivas Yomim, to tell you the din of Dayo. In any event, just to summarize, what we have here is the final conclusion of the sugi that everyone, whether it's Chachomim and even Rabbi Tarfon, agree and adopt the principle of Dayo with regard to Kal V'Chomer. They only argue about the following. Do we apply Dayo in every single Kal V'Chomer, or only in a Kal V'Chomer which can be reconciled and can be salvaged even after applying Dayo? Now the Gemara wants to know, is there anyone, and this is going to be the balance of that shiur for today, is there anyone, any Tana, or any Amora, but probably we're looking for a Tana, who goes as far as to say that there is no din of Dayo at all? rejecting the entire principle of daya. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye veha haitana delo darish daya. We find a Tana who rejects daya completely. V'afalgav, even in the case of delo mifrich kal v'chomer, even in a situation where we can reconcile the kal v'chomer with daya and still salvage the kal v'chomer, which is the case in which even Rabbi Tarfon agreed that we apply the principle of daya, like in the case of Hezger Shivasyom B'Nezifa Shechin and Miriam, where we derive from the kal v'chomer 7 days, and here even Rabbi Tarfon applies the principle of daya. We have a Tana that even in that situation, where we can still reconcile, kill, still salvage the kal v'chomer, we still reject and suspend the principle of daya. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, and in order to appreciate this Braisa, let's give a little bit of background here with regard to the dinim of Tumas Keri and Tumas Zav. Tumas Keri means when a person, a tar, has an omission of Shichvas Zora, he has to be Tovel, and he's Tomei 1 day. And that's the parash in Vayikra Tezvav, V'ish ki teitze mimenu Shichvas Zora, V'rochatz b'mayim is kol b'sor v'tomei ad ha'orev. Now, we upgrade to a much more severe Tumah that's called Tumas Zav, in which case a person has a Re'iyah of Ziva, which is a specific type of an emission from his body. And if he only sees one Re'iyah, then Enochinami, he's Tomei only Adshkia Sachama. If he sees two or more Re'iyos, then he has to count Shiva Nikiyim, and then he's Tovil, and then he's Tahar. And this is in the same chapter in Vayikra Tesvav, but at the beginning of that chapter, Ish Ish Ki Ezov Mibsoro Zovo Tomehu Vizostia Tomas Bizov Rar Bisoro Ezovo O Hichtim Bisoro Mizovo Tomasohu. So the difference between Shichva Zor and Ziva, which is a sugya nida da flamen hamid base, is that a tipa of Zov, which is called Ziva, Ria Ziva, is a tipa haba mibosar hames shebeguf adam. And the Gemara equates it with lemei botzek shel siorim vehu deha, which means mifurekes. It's similar to the loven of beitza muzeres. Shichva Zora is a tipa haba mibsar achai vikshura Vidomel Lovan Beitza She'ena Muzeres. So again, you'd have to really study that sugya pretty carefully to understand how to identify and how to differentiate between Shichva Zora and the Re'iyah of Ziva, of Zav. But in any event, we have here a Chumra of Tuma Zav above and beyond Tumas Keri, and that is, besides what we discussed before about Zayin Nikiyim, Atuma Shiva in the case of Zav, there's something called Mayonos HaZav. Mayonos HaZav doesn't exist in the case of a tar. The only omission that from a tar that's Metame for at least a day, that's only Keri. Not so in the case of a Zav. He has what's called Mayonos HaZav. Other emissions from his body other than just Ziva Zov. For example, Rok, Mei Raglayim, and all these are Metame. Now, the Tuma of Mayonos HaZav is called Maga Umasa. Maga, when there's a direct contact with this Mayonos HaZav, whether it's Rok or Mei Raglayim. And Masa, when, although there's no direct contact, but he carries it and he lifts it from the ground without directly touching it. That's called Tumas Masa. In the case of Keri, which is Shichva Zera, it is Metame B'maga, if somebody has a contact with the Shichva Zera, but not B'masa. Now, in the case of a keri, of a tumas keri, he doesn't have any minos, like roke or meiraglaim, other than shikva zera itself. So that's just a little background now. The Gemara now goes on to quote a brisa. The brisa says the following. We're talking about keri. We're talking about tipas keri bizov. In other words, we've been discussing mayonos of a zav, and they are metame b'magu v'masa. We've discussed keri in the case of Valkeri, which is metame one day. What's the story with keri bizav? Minayin, how do we know that it has the same din as ziva itself, as zov itself? And keri shifazora, which we said looks a lot different than ziva and comes from a different part of the body, how do we know that keri of a zav is metame betumas maga umasa, like ziva itself or the other mayonos? And the braisa establishes a kalvachom vidinu uma tohar bitohar. The case of roke, which has a kula, in that if it comes out of a person who's tar, is nevertheless tame bitame. So again, roke has a kula. If it comes out of a tar, unlike shikvas zora, it is tar. Roke of a tar is tar, that we know. However, if this roke comes from a tome, meaning from a zav, then the roke is tome. And again, this is based on the pasuk we mentioned before, v'chi a roke hazav batar. And the chachomim darshind l'rabos masha biyad hatar, kigon shazav yorak bedover hatar, hanimtza biyad hatar, v'nimtza hatar no seyes a roke, is tame. If somebody carries the roke of a zav, he becomes tame. Now let's talk about keri. Keri, of course, relative to roke, is chamur. Why? Tame bitar. If a tar has an emission of keri, then that shikva zora is tame, unlike roke that comes from a tar, which is tar, is therefore Eino din, how much more so, shei tamei bitamei. If this keri, this shikva zora, comes out of a zav, how much more so should it be tamei bitumas mago masa? Again, let's just go over the purposes. Kalvachoma, the goal is to derive the status of keri bizav, and that keri bizav, like roke of a zav, is mitamei bimago uvimasa. And there's a kalvachomer here, because keri is chomer vis-a-vis roke in the case of a tar, if it comes out of a tar. And therefore, in the case that it comes out of a zav, of a tame, certainly it should be at least as chomer, if not more chomer, than roke. And therefore, it says here in this price derived from this kalvachomer, she'e tame bitame, that certainly the tumah of shikva zera can be derived with a kavachom from the tumah a shikva zera v'zav from the tumah of roka v'zav. V'kam maisi lei, and the brisa derives from this kavachomer, bein lamaga, bein lamasa. And we want to establish that the shikva zera of zav is metame even b'masa. So the Gemara says, v'amai nema, maybe we should apply the principle of Dayol Avomin Adin Lios Kinodun. And the reason for that is the basis for this Kal V'chomer, if you remember, the Kal itself, was the case of Shikvas Zera of a Tar, And Shichva Zera of a Tor, if you recall, is Metame Bimaga, but not Bimasa. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Let's read it inside. Vamai, how can you derive that Shichva Zera from a Zav is Metame even Bimasa? Nema, Ahani Kalvachomer Limaga, but Ahani Dayo Lafuke Masa. We can, the Kavachom is effective to derive Tumas Maga in the case of a Keri or a case of a Shifazer that comes out of a Zav. But Dayo is going to put the brakes on this Kavachomer to exclude Tumas Masa in the case of Keri Shel Zav. Why? Because again, the Kavachomer is based on Shifazer of Adam Tahar. And Shifazer of an Adam Tahar is mitame bimaga, not bimasa, so dayo. And now notice in this case that we're not completely vitiating the kalvachomer. It's not a pircha gemura on the kalvachomer because we're going to derive from this kalvachomer that keri shel zav is mitame bimaga. And nevertheless, we're going to go a step further with this kalvachomer and even derive masa, even though the basis for this kalvachomer is Shichvas Zera of a Torah, meaning Balker, which is only Mitame Bimaga and not Bimasa. Bechi Teman, if you'll say that maybe this is not a proof, and why is that? Limaga lo itzrich Kalvachomer. There's no need for the Kalvachomer to establish that Keri Shalzav is Mitame Bimaga. We only need the Kalvachomer for one purpose, and that is Masa. The Logara, because Keri of a Zav is not worse than Keri of a Gavra Tar. In other words, a Balkeri becomes a Balkeri and he's Tame, at least a Tumas Maga, when Zera comes out. So all you need is one Tipas Keri. And Zav should not be inferior to a Tahar, to a Balkeri who became Tomei through a Tipas Keri. So certainly the Tipas Keri is Metame, a Gavra Tomei, in the case of Ziva, it's Tomei Tumas Maga, at least that much you have to grant me. The purpose therefore of the Kalvachomer, the whole brunt of the Kalvachomer and its substance, is to establish Maga. And therefore, if you could apply the principle of Dayo here, then the Kalvachomer is a null set. Itzrich. The Gemara says that's not a valid argument. We need to derive the din of Keri of a Zav to Salka Daitach Amina from this Kalvachomer, because Salka Daitach Amina, I would have said that there's a fundamental difference between the two cases, Keri of a Tar and Keri of a Tomei, in this case a Zav, because when the Torah in Dvarim, Perek Chav Gimel, describes Tumas Keri, it calls it Mikre Laila Ksif. And we could derive from that pasuk that Mi Shekerio Gorem Lo. When is there a Tumas Maga? That's because the Keri itself creates the Tumah. It's the source of the Tumah. But Yotza Zen, the case of a Zav, Ein Kiri Gorim Lo Tumah. No, the Tumah is not a result of the Keri. El Dover Acher Gorim Lo. It's a Yitzias Ziva, which again, as we said at the outset, is fundamentally different than a Yitzias Keri. Is therefore, I couldn't even derive from the parasha of Kirio of Mikre Laila, which is the basic pasuk for Tumas Maga in Shichvas Zera of a Keri, I could not derive the Shichvas Zera of a Zav, even as far as Tumas Maga is concerned. Kamash Balon, so I need the Kalvachom for two purposes. Number one, to teach me that Keri Ayotzis Min Azav is Mitami Bein Bimaga Ubein Bimasa, and therefore if we would apply Dayo, then we would derive from this Kalvachomer only Tumas Maga, not Tumas Masa. And therefore we see that this Tana suspends the operation, rejects the operation of Dayo, even in a case where we would salvage the Kal V'chomer, meaning we would derive from this Kal V'chomer Tumas Maga. So the Gemara rejects this and says that even with regard to a Zav, Dayo in this case would completely undermine the Kal V'chomer. And why is that? Midi. Because when we have Mikre Laila, and you want to say V'lo Dover Acher Ksiv, does it really say in the Pasuk V'lo Dover Acher? That's a rhetorical question. It only says Mikre Laila. And therefore there's no Miut in this Pasuk to exclude the Tuma of Keri in the case of Vizvi Maga in the case of Azav. And if there's no explicit Miut in the Pasuk, doesn't say V'lo Dover Acher, therefore the din of Tumas Maga in the Keri of Azav is included in the general din of Tumas Keri. And I don't need a Kal V'chomer to derive Tumas Maga of Keri of Azav. And therefore, if we apply Dayo, the whole purpose of the Kal V'chomer there, therefore, is the increment from Maga to Masa. If you apply Dayo, then the Kal V'chomer becomes meaningless. And therefore, applying what we saw already in Rabbi Tarfon, we suspend the operation of Dayo, because it's a do-or-die situation. Either you take the Kal V'chomer or you take Dayo. They're mutually exclusive, because the Kal V'chomer is here to upgrade Tumas Keri of Azav from Maga to Masa, and once you apply the brakes of Dayo, that Kal V'chomer is meaningless. So basically, the final line of this Gemara, the bottom line is that this brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, that we suspend the operation of Dayo in a case where there'll be a Pircha Gemura on the Kal V'chomer. Now that the Gemara has quoted this brisa of Shichva Zor Shel Zav, which is Matami both in Maga and Masa, and we suspend Dayo as we saw, the Gemara tries to clarify this. Uman Tana de Shamitle de Omar Shichva Zer Shel Zav Matami b'Masa. Who is the author of this brisa, the sheet that reflects that Shichva Zer v'Zav is Matami not only in Maga, but even in Masa? We have a problem. Lo Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo Rabbi Yeshua. We have a Mishnah Masechet Kelim, which quotes two Shitos, and none of them seem to reflect the power of Shichva Zer Shel Zav to be Mitami B'Masa. This Nan, it says in the Mishnah, Shichva Zer Shel Zav, Mitame, according to Rabbi Eliezer, B'Maga, V'Eino Mitami B'Masa. So we're certainly excluding Rabbi Eliezer. But even Rabbi Yeshua, who accepts Tumas Maga in the case of Shichva Zer Zav, he does it for a different reason entirely. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Af Mitami B'Masa, why? Lefishi Efshar, it's impossible to have Shichva Zera below Tzichtzuche Ziva. When the Shichva Zera comes out of a Zav, together with that Yitziah, comes some element of Ziva, you know, there's some residue of Ziva in the body that comes out from the same place as Shichva Zera. When the Shichva Zera comes out, it schleps with it a tipa of Zov. And there's an admixture here of both Shichva Zera and Tipas Zov. I mean, this is the famous case where the Rishonim, the famous Mordechai and Chulin, talk about the fact that there should be Bittel Berov over here, because most of what comes out here is Shichva Zora. And the Mordechai gives two answers to this question as to why the principle of Bittel is not applicable here in the case of Tzichtzuchei Ziva. The first principle is that a Dovra Nikar is not Batel. Okay, that itself is a Chiddush, but the second Chiddush is very revolutionary. And that is that Bittel Berov only applies when two substances were separated from the get-go. When the Tarovus came about, it means X and Y got mixed up together, but X and Y were initially separate. Then you could apply bittul berov. But when you have something which from the get-go was always a combination, that's like a new entity, there's no room for a battle here between the rov and the miut, because they both exist in nature simultaneously. That's how they emerge. And here too, the Shechva Zora and the Ziva emerge from the body simultaneously in one tarovis. That's not your classical tarovis in which you could apply rov. And I mention this because we're learning these halachas of tarovis and bittul in our shiurim in Yoredeya. And I thought it was interesting that we have an overlap here. So the Gemara says the following: Ad kad lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua ha'asam. Rabbi Yeshua is not telling us that the shichva zor itself of a zav is metami b'masa. That's not what he's saying. El shi efshe belotzik tzuchei ziv. He's saying that with the emergence from the body, the emission of shichva zor comes ziva. The tumah is engendered by the ziva, not by the shichva zor. Holav hachi. In other words, if not for the reasoning of the efshar, then Rabbi Yeshua would say it's not metame. Notice the carry itself is not metame b'masa. So now we have again a problem. Which Tana can we identify? Can we single out as the author of this brisa who has in shechvazer of zav a tumas maga? Ella, but rather the Gemara says that you go back to the beginning of Masechta Kelim. Ella hai Tanahu. The Tana here in our Brice, that Shichva Zer Shel Zav is Metami even Vimasa, reflects the Shita in the Mishnah Disnan. The Mishnah talks about Shlosha Avos Hatuma. The Mishnah enumerates three Avos Hatuma: Sheretz, Shichva Zora, and Tmeimes. And these Avos Hatuma are Metame Bimaga, in the opening Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, but they are not metame b'masa. Now, the Mishnah brings tumos, which the Gemara calls lamala mihen, in other words, tumos that are more chamuros, that are metame even b'masa, v'eluhen. Now, keep in mind that Shichva Zora does not appear on the list of the three Avos HaTuma that are Metame B'maga, except in the case of a tar. His Shichva Zora are not Metame B'masa, and only B'maga. Only the case of Shichva Zora of a tar, which means Balkeri. There's no mention here of carry of a zav, but now the Mishnah goes on lamala mihem and enumerates four cases of a tumah chamura, which means that the tumah is metame even b'masa. And let's look at that list. And here we turn to Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Zovo shel zav. Okay, that we already discussed at great length. The Torah says that the ziva of a zav is metame Bain b'mago v'masa. Then we get to Roko, which that's called Mayonos of Zav. And then we have Shichva Zaro Shel Zav, Umeme Raglov, which is also Mayonos of Zav. And then we have Dam Hanido. And all of these are Metamim Bain b'mago u'bain b'masa, as delineated in the Sugya Nida Nun Hayamid Beis that we referred to earlier. In any event, it's explicit in this Mishnah that Shichva Zaro Shel Zav is Metamim even b'masa. And we now have finally found a Tana that reflects the sheet of our Braisa, that Shichva Zer Shel Zav is Metami V'mas. So the Gemara now asks, perhaps there's no proof from this Mishnah about Shichva Zer Shel Zav regarding Masa, because Dilma Hachinami, maybe it's Rabbi Yeshua, who says, Lefishi Efshar, L'Shichva Zer Shel Zav, Shetetze Velo Tzuchsuchei Zima, the Tumah here of Masa is not a result of the Shichva Zora. It's not inherent in the Zera, but rather in the Ziva that is emitted from the body together with the Shichva Zora. So the Gemara says that's not true. in Cain, the order of this Mishnah is fluky. Why? Lisne Gabi Zovo. The Mishnah should have said the following. Zovo Shel Zav Vishikvas Zaro, indicating that Shikvas Zaro is an extension of Zovo. It's another form of Zovo because below Tzuchei Ziva, as we said before. Umaishna de Katani Le. Maishna de Katani Le Gabi Roko. Why does the Mishnah wedge Roko in between Ziva and Shikvas Zara? Ella Mishum di Asi Miroko. Because it's derived, as we said in our Brisa, from a Kal Vachomer. That rok is tar when it comes out of an odom tar, and yet when it comes out of a zav, it's metame. Kavachomer l'shikva zara, which is metame a tar when it comes out of an odom tar, it's metame when it comes out of a zav. And if you don't accept dayo, we extend it even to tumas maga. Now the Gemara goes back to the original issue of dayo. And the Gemara is now going to make a second attempt at identifying a Tana who holds that Kal Vachomer is not subject to Dayo at all. Amalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina. Rav Acha turns to Ravina and he says, Vaha, hai Tana lo dorish Dayo. I have another Tana in a different context who rejects the principle of Dayo completely. Afa gavda lo mifrach Kal Vachomer. Even when we could apply dayo and still salvage the Kal Vachomer, which is the case in which at least Rabbi Tarfon agrees to at least that case, that there's an application of dayo, because we can still have a cake and eat it, we can have the Kal Vachomer, salvage it, derive something from it, and then apply dayo to limit it. And even in such a case, the Tana of the following Braisa, says Rav Acha, does not apply dayo. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Mapots. We're talking about in Hebrew it's called a machzeles. In English, I think roughly you'd call it a mat, M-A-T. And it's made of small slats. And it doesn't fit into any of the classic categories mentioned by the Torah with regard to Tumas Mes. The Torah says in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof, V'chol Beged V'chol Kli'or, V'chol Maise Izim, V'chol Kli'etz Tischato. And the Pasuk therefore delineates with regard to Tumas Mes, Kli'or, or Kli'etz. So you have a utensil that's made out of animal skins, or made out of wood, or Be'beged, that's also listed here, cloth. And now we have something called a mapatz. The question is, since a mapatz is not listed here in the Torah, in the Parsha Tumas Mes, is it nitma, does it become tameh with Tumas Mes? So the Braisa says, mapa bimes minayin. How do we know that even a mapa is subject and is makabel tumah, susceptible to tumah, of Tumas Mes, meaning, let's say this mapot, I should say, finds itself in the ohel of a mess, right? There's a dead body, a corpse in this ohel, together with this mapot, this machzeles, this mat made of small reeds. Would the mapot become tame? And the answer is yes. How do we derive this? It's neither kli'or, kli'etz, it's not a beged. Vidinim. The Braisa says we derive it from a Kal Vachomer. Now, in order to appreciate this Kal Vachomer, we have to talk about something called a Kli Cheres, but not your classical Kli Cheres, which has a wide opening, but rather something called Pachim Ktanim. Rashi explains that what's Pachim Ktanim, which literally means small jugs, they have a very tight and narrow opening on top. And how narrow is narrow? That's called Ein Etzba Shel Adam Yechol Likonis Misham. You can't even put a finger into the hole. That's how small it is. Now, we have a case called Zav that we spoke about at great length earlier, who's Metame B'maga. Now, let's say there's direct contact between this Zav and Pachim K'tanim. Do these Pachim K'tanim, which have such a narrow opening, become Tame? And the answer is no. And that becomes the foundation for this Kal V'chomer. Every Kal V'chomer starts with a Kal. In this case, the Kal is Pachim K'tanim. Ma Pachim K'tanim? Shetahorim B'Zav. In other words, they're not, the Pachim K'tanim are not subject, not susceptible to Tumah Zav B'Maga. And nevertheless, Mitame, which means they are susceptible to Tumah B'Mes, meaning B'Oel HaMes. So if you have Pachim K'tanim that came in contact with the Zav, they remain Tor. If you have Pachim K'tanim in an oil together with a corpse, they become Tomei. Is Mapots Shemitame Bizav? Now, why is, and how does the Bryson know as a simple premise, that a Mapots is susceptible to Tumas Zav? And the answer is that's something called Midras Hazav. And Midrash HaZov, which is derived explicitly from the Torah in Vayikra Tezvav that we spoke about before, called Mishkav Asher Yishkav Olav HaZov Yitameh, which means that anything that is designated for Mishkav, meaning to rest on it, is called Mishkav HaZov, and it's Mitameh if a Zav places his weight on this Mishkav HaZov. Mapots is a mat, you know, like you have a hammock, which is designated for shechiva, for resting on it, and therefore it is subject to what's called midras hazav. That makes mapots chomur in contrast to pachim ketanim, because pachim ketanim, we said before, are not subject to tumas zav; they're only subject to tumas ol ames. Mapots is subject and susceptible to Tumas Midras HaZav. In that case, it's more Chomer than Pachim K'tanim, which is not subject to Tumas Zav, to Maga Zav. Is Eino Dinshi Yatami B'mes? How much more so if Pachim K'tanim is subject to Tumas Ola Mes, then how much more so Mapot, which is more Chomer than Pachim K'tanim, as we saw by Zav, is subject to Tumas Mes, and is susceptible to Vimitami. So you have a corpse in the same oil as a Mapot. Certainly, with this Kal V'chomer, we derived that the Mapot becomes Tomei. And now, the Gemara explains a feature about this Kal V'chomer. V'kamaisi la, the brisa that derives Tumas Mes in Mapots from this Kal V'chomer, derives the conclusion Bein L'Tumas Erev U'Bein L'Tumas Shiva. Now, Tumas Erev means that you put it into the mikvah and it becomes tahar on that very day of the Tevilah B'Tumas Erev. In other words, you just wait until that day itself passes, and with the Shkiyas Hachama, it becomes Tohar. Then there's something called Tumas Shiva. Tumas Shiva is a Tumah, as it's called, for 7 days, in which Tevilah has to be postponed till the seventh day, and only after the Tevilah on the seventh day, then it becomes Tohar. Is Amai. How does the Braisa derive from this Kal V'chomer Tumas Shiva, which is the Tumah Chamura, in the case of the Mapots in the Ol HaMes? Ema, why not apply the principle of Daya? We should say the following. Ahani Kal V'chomer L'Tumas Erev. The Kal V'chomer certainly could teach me Tumas Erev. So if the Mapots is located in the Ol HaMes, it should become Tomei B'Tumas Erev. Vahani Dayo, now we apply the principle, the breaks of Dayo, Lafuki Tumas Shiva. Because again, this whole Kal V'chomer is based on the case of Zav. And Zav, when it touches something, when he touches something, he's Metame, that object, or that person, as a Tumas Erev. So since this halacha of mapots is derived from the kal in the application of tumas ziva regarding pachim ketanim, and in the context of tumas ziva, the maximum tuma that we're talking about is the tumas erev, then mapots derived from mapots and olames derived from tumas ziva in the case of pachim ketanim would have to also be limited through the principle of dayo to tumas erev, and yet the brisa does not say so. We see that this brisa completely rejects dayo. Again, even though you can reconcile the kal v'chomer and salvage it with the dayo, because you derive tumas erev, you won't derive all the way up to tumas shiva. Here we see a case where we have a third sheet of a tana that rejects dayo completely, even in the case where Rabbi Tarfon at least would accept dayo, because you can salvage the kal v'chomer, this tana rejects the principle of dayo completely, utterly. So the Gemara answers, this is Ravina responding to Rav Acha Midifti. Amar Lei Kvar Rama Niela, this question was already asked by Rav Nachumi Bar Zecharia L'Abaye, V'Amar Lei Abaye, and Abaye's response was, Tana, the Tana this Braisa is not deriving to Mesmes B'Mapots from a Kal V'Chomer, from Pachim K'tanim, Elo, but rather mimapots b'sheretz maisile. The basis of this kal v'chomer to derive the din of mapots b'tumas mes is tumats sheretz b'mapots, and that's called a gzeira shava. The Gemara later on is going to explain how the gzeira shava teaches us that just like this tumas sheretz b'mapots, so too this tumas mes b'mapots. V'hachi kamer, and this is how you have to read this kal v'chomer into the braisa. Mapots b'sheretz minayin. How do we know that mapots is tami b'tumas sheretz? V'dinu. That's derived from a kal v'chomer. So we're talking about mapots vis-a-vis sheretz, tumas sheretz. So sheretz came in contact with this mapots. Uma pachim k'tanim shetahorim b'zav. Tmeim b'sheretz, if a sheretz, which is always metame in a very small slice of basar, it's called ke'adasha, it's like a small lentil bean, a pea, is enough to be metame in sheretz, a shemetz ke'adasha, and therefore in the case of pachim k'tanim, even though the peh, the opening, is very, very narrow, as we said, but it's at least open enough for a kadash of a sheretz to be metami. So therefore, pachim ketanim will be tmeim b'sheretz, even though the Torah b'zav, through maga b'zav, is mapots shetomei b'zav. Mapots becomes tomei under the law of mishkav zav, as we discussed earlier. Eino din shei tomei b'sheretz. Oh. And now, we know that mapots becomes tomei through tumas sheretz, based on this kal v'chomer. And there's no dayel of omen adin lios kenodun, because everything that deriving here is tumas erev, whether it be in the case of zav b'maga, whether it be in the case of sheretz b'maga, we're talking about tumas erev. So there's no room for a dayel. So we have a solid kal v'chomer without any problems that teaches us that mapots is tamei b'sheretz. Now we want to jump to mapots b'olames, and that's where we have the gzeirah shav. The Gemara is going to now present that gzeirah shav ela mapots b'mes minayin. And here we're going to derive the tumah of mapots in the ol of a mes from a gzeirah shav. Nemar beged v'or b'sheretz. If we open up to Vayikra Yud Aleph, it says v'chol asher yipol olav mehem. We're talking about sheretz. B'mosam yitma mikol kli. Eitz, o beged, o ar. So we have here beged v'ar. And now let's fast forward to Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, to the parasha of Tumas Mes. And v'nemar beged v'ar b'mes. The pasuk says v'chol beged v'chol kli ar. In the case of Tumas Mes and Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, ma beged v'ar ha'omer b'sheretz mapots tamei bo. Af beged v'ar ha'omer b'mes mapots tamei bo. So at this point, we come to the conclusion that even the brisa of Mapots is not based on the exclusion of Dayo, and we have no Tana that rejects Dayo. That seems to be the final maskot at this point in the sugya. Now the Gemara says, with regard to a gzeirah shava, we have a halacha of mufne. So let's just try to give a little background here. With regard to gzeirah shava, we have three categories. We have number one, mufne mishnei tzadim. We have number two, mufne mitzad echad. And number three, we have a gzeirah shava that's not mufne at all. The first category of mufne mitzad echad means, again, every gzeirah shava is based on a word that appears twice. And one of the times in which that word appears is derived from a kal v'chomer, and that's only mufne mitzad echad. In other words, the din itself has to be taught, and then you could apply the kal v'chomer. And that's called mufne mitzad echad. So achas mitevos mehem nidrash me'achas. Me'atevos, from one of these two tevos, you're going to derive a kal v'chomer, correct? So we have here the case of Beged Or, and what does it say there again? Beged and Or, right? And that gives us gzeirah shava. That's going to derive. That's going to teach us that just like in Sheretz, a mapatz is tummy, so too in mess, a mapatz become tummy. But now, we have to go back to the kal v'chomer to establish, fundamentally, that sheretz is metame mapatz, and that we derive from a kal v'chomer from pachim ketanim in zav. So that's called mufne mitzad echad. Okay. Now, with regard to this category called mufne mitzad echad, we're going to have a major machlokas. But mufne mishnei tzadim, that's the clear-cut gzeirah shava case, which means that both tevos are that we're using for the gzeirah shava are completely superfluous. And again, there's no rejection of such a gzeirah shava. It's absolutely solid, and even a pircha cannot undermine such a gzeirah shava. It's mufne mishnei tzadim. You have two words that are completely superfluous. Then you have mufne mitzad echad, where only one of the words from which we want to derive a kal v'chomer is, where one of the words from which we want to derive a kal v'chomer is needed. It's not superfluous. It has to teach the din itself. And only the other word is superfluous. That's a machlokas tanoim, as we indicated earlier. And it's Rabbi Shmuel who says that too is a solid gzeirah shava, even though it's only mufne mitzad echad. There is a superior status, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, to mufne mishnei tzadim. B'makom she'efshar lidrosh b'mufne mishnei tzadim, efshar lidrosh b'mufne mitzad echad. We have two possible ways of deriving this conclusion from gzeirah shava A, which is mufne mishnei tzadim, gzeirah shava B, which is mufne mitzad echad. Then we prefer to use the mufne mishnei tzadim. The Chachamim reject Rabbi Yishmael. And according to the Chachamim, lemeidim umeshivim, meaning, although you could derive a kal v'chomer, a gzer shava, excuse me, I made that mistake a few times, a gzer shava from mufne mitzad echad, but nevertheless, if there's a pirchan on that gzer shava, then we drop the gzeirah shava completely. And then you have the third case of eino mufne klal, which means that both tevos, both words from which we derive a kal v'chomer, are necessary in their place. And they teach me the etzem limud ad-din. And that's going to be machlokes amoroim. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, says that such a gzeirah shava is completely rejected, even without a pircha. Whereas Rav Acha Brei de Rav, in the name of Rav Loza, says that we can derive conclusions from such a gzeirah shava, it's valid, but meshivin, meaning if we have a pircha, then we undermine and invalidate such a gzeirah shava. And even Rabbi Eliezer, who validates, if there's no pircha, validates a gzeirah shava that's not mufne, but he would prefer, if he has the option, the middle category, which we said was mufne mitzad echad. This is just a little bit of background based on the sugya in Nidah Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, and Rashi there. The Gemara now establishes, with regard to this Kal V'chomer for Mapatz, Mufne. In other words, it is Panui. Panui means it's superfluous, it's open, therefore, for a drasha, and it allows us to equate the status, the din, of a mapa with regard to Tumas Mes to a mapa with regard to Tumas Sheretz. De'i lo mufna, if it's not mufna, then as we said before, when it's not mufna, the Gzeres Shava is weaker and it's susceptible to a pircha. Is ikol mifrach, there is a room for a pircha. Malis Sheretz, Sheretz in contrast, in comparison to Tumas Mes, has a chumra that Tumas Mes does not have, shekei metame b'chadasha. The minimum shear for Tumas Sheretz is so small that it's even smaller than the shear of a kezayis, which is the minimum tumah for Tumas Mes. Tomar b'mes, can you derive a mes, which is a tumah kala vis-a-vis Tumas Sheretz, sheinu metame b'chadasha l'b'kezayis? So we have a pircha. And since we have a pircha, and yet the Bryce insists on validating this kalvachomer, it must be that this kalvachomer is called a kalvachomer mufne. And if you remember, mufne mishnei tzadim has a special status of an invincible kind of gzeirah shava, the extent to which that we don't apply a pircha to such a gzeirah shava. And now the Gemara tries to clarify why indeed is this called mufne. And Mufna Mishnei Tzadim to validate the Kal V'chomer. The Gemara says, La Ye. La Ye means Be'emes, it's true. Afnuye Mufne. This pasuk is Panui. In other words, it's only here for the purpose of this drasha. And why is that so? Michdi. Let's analyze this. We're talking about Tumas Sheretz. Sheretz Itkash. L'shichvas zora, we have a hekesh in the psukim between sheretz and shichvas zora d'chsiv. In Vayikra Chav Beis, the Torah says, with regard to tumas kohenim, who are enjoined from eating kodshim, the Torah says, v'anogeh b'chol t'mei nefesh, o isha shartetze v'gober meni shichvas zora. So we have the case of shichvas zora, v'samachlei. And in the very next pasuk, it says, "O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz asher yitmalo." And we're talking now about both a balkeri and a person who touches a sheretz. In both cases, he's enjoined from eating kodshim. So we have now a hekesh between shichvas zera and sheretz. Uksiv bei b'shichvas zora, with regard to shichvas zora, going back to our old parish in Vayikra Tezvav, v'chol beged v'chol ora shayia olav shichvas zora. So we see that there's a tuma shichvas zora in all those kelim, but only those kelim, meaning beged and kli or, and therefore beged v'or the kasav rachmona b'sheretz lamali. Why did Torah have to repeat Beged and Or a second time around in Sheretz, based on the Hekesh between Sheretz and Shichvas Zora? Just like Shichvas Zora is Beged or Or, so too, in the case of Tumas Sheretz, only Beged or Kli Or would become Tomei. Shma Mino, therefore, you could derive lafnuye. Again, so far we only have mufna mitzad echad, but we do have lafnuye that could support this gzeirah shava, because there's no need for the Torah to teach me eged o kli or in the case of Sheretz, and the reason why the Torah did that is to teach me that Mapots is Metame V'tumas Mes, based on the Gzeres Shavah. So the Gemara asks, Vakati Mufna V'tzad Echad Hu. There's only one case of Beged Or, which is Miyutar, and that's the case of Sheretz. But it's not Miyutar in the case of Tumas Mes. Is Hanicha Lemanti Omar Mufna Mitzad Echad Lemeidim Veinim Ashivim. This makes sense according to the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel that we mentioned earlier, that as long as Mufna Mitzad Echad, you could derive a full-fledged, solid Kalvachomer, again, I made that same mistake, a full-fledged Gzeres Shavah, I just want to see if you're awake, and Ein Meshivet, and there's no Pircha. And therefore, the Pircha that we had before, about the fact that Tumas Mes is Kal, and Sheretz is Chomer because of Kadasha versus Kizayis, that Pircha cannot undermine the Gzeres Shavah Shapir. Then it makes sense that we can use this Gzeres Shavah to equate Tumas Sheretz and Tumas Mes and derive the Tumah of Mapatz in Tumas Mes and Olshol Mes. El Laman Di Omar. But according to the Chachamim who hold Lemeidim Umeshivim, that a Mufna Mitzad Echad is a second rate, a lower level Gzeres Shavah, and it's subject to Pircha, which will completely undermine the Gzeres Shavah and invalidate it, my Ikel Meimar. How can you derive this Kal Vachomer? Beged V'or, although it's Mufne with regard to Sheretz, because of the Hekesh between Sheretz and Shichvas Zora, nevertheless, we need the Beged V'or in the case of Tumas Mes, and now we can apply the Pircha that we said before, that Sheretz is more Chomer because it's Metame Kadasha, and that's why it's Metame, a Sheretz is Metame a Mapots, but Tumas Mes, which is only Metame Bekizayas, Mechatesi, how do you know that it should be Metame Mapots? And the Gemara answers, no. That even in the case of Tumas Mes, the language of Beged V'or, Nami Afnuye Mufna, it's also superfluous. Why? Michti. In the case of Tumas Mes Iskash L'Shichva Zora, we already have another Hekesh, not just the Hekesh between Sheretz and Shichva Zora, but between Mes and Shichva Zora. Dichsiv in Vayikruch of Beis, it says, Vanogeh b'chol t'mei nefesh, o isha sher teitzim men shichva zora. Uksiv be b'shichva zora, chol beged b'chol ora sher yeh olav shichva zora. So by virtue of the fact that in the parish of Shichva Zora, it mentions beged and or, and there's a hekesh between Shichva Zora and Tumei Mes, we know therefore, ipso facto, that Tumei Mes, like Shichva Zora, is beged v'or. Is therefore Beged V'or the Kosav Rachmona B'tumas Mes is when it says in Bamidbar Lamanal V'chol Beged V'chol Kli Or V'chol Maisa Izin V'chol Kli Eitz Dischato Lamali, that's completely superfluous. Shma Mina Lafnuye Havi. Lafnuye means there's another superfluous set of words of Beged V'or. V'havi Mufna Mishnei Tzadim. It's Mufna in both cases, both in the case of Sheretz and in the case of Tumas Mes. And that allows us to have Gzeres Shavah, which is invincible and is not suspect or susceptible to the schlug up of a Pircha. So the Gemara now asks, Han Nicho Lamanti Omar Dun Mino V'uki B'Asra. In other words, in every case of Gzeres Shavah, we derive dinim, right, from the Malame to the Nilmad, but we only do so if the din which we're trying to transfer is don mine. In other words, if the Gzeres Shavah in our sugya, we're trying to derive from the Gzeres Shavah of Sheretz and Tumas Mes, and with regard to Mapatz, that just like Mapatz is Tomei in Sheretz, it's Tomei in Mes. But the very basic din of Tumah could be derived from the Gzeira Shava. Which means that the din, that Mapatz becomes Tameh in Ola Mes, that could be derived from the fact that Mapatz becomes Tameh from a Sheretz. But now you want to talk about what the nature of the Tumah is, and Tumah Sheretz in the case of a Mapatz is only a Tumas Erev, in the case of Tumas Mes in Mapatz, we're talking about Tumah Shiva. That makes sense if you hold Don Minevi Uki Beasra. Elamandi Omer Don Mina Umina. That whenever you have a Gzeres Shava, you can derive all the dinim. That's called Mina Umina, is Michael Meimar. In other words, what do you benefit? What's the toeles of deriving the din of Tumas Mapatz in Mes, in Ola Mes, from Tumas Mapatz in the case of Sheretz? When in the case of Sheretz, the Tumas only Tumas Erev, in the case of Mapatz, it's a Tumas Shiva. And that violates the principle of Don Mina Umina. No, it's if I hold Don Mina Vuki Biastra, so I derive the very basic Tuma of Mapatz in Mes from Mapatz in Sheretz, and now it's swallowed up in the parsha of Tumas Mes, and therefore the halach of Tumas Shiva that applies always in Ola Mes applies to Mapatz as well. That's called Don Mina Vuki Biastra. But if I hold Don Mina Umina, then I have to derive all the dinim in this equation. The Gzeres Shava is going to teach me not only that there is such an entity called Tumas Mapatz Bemes, but also the dinim of Tumas Mapatz Bemes and the application, the extension, will be derived from Tumas Sheretz, which means it's only a Tumas Erev. It cannot be a Tumas Shiva. Amar Rava, Rava says that based on this Gzeres Shava, even though we should derive from Tumas Mapatz only Tumas Erev, and therefore Mapatz in Tumas Mesh should be limited to Tumas Erev, nevertheless, we can derive Shivas Yomim, a full-fledged Tumah, in Mapatz B'mes, based on a Pasuk Omar Kro, the Torah says, Vamidbar Lamed Aleph, with regard to Tumas Mes, V'chibastem Bigdechem Bayom Ashvi Utahartem. And the extra word utahartem is a ribui to tell me that kol tumah shatem itamim b'mes, anything that becomes, anything that contracts tumah through a mes, whether it's a person that was in the oel, whether it's kalim that was in the oel, lo yupchusim mishiva, they shouldn't be less than shivas yomim. Therefore, the gzeres shava here, even if I hold don mina mina, which would mean it could only teach me Tumas Erev, but nevertheless, from this extra word, Utahartem, that Reba in the Parsha Tumas Mes, it teaches me that all Kalim that become Tomei, that contract Tumah in an Ola Mes, are Tomei Fishivas Yomim. And that's Lafuke, the principle, the universal principle of Don Mina, Umina, to equate the Dinim straight through. Just to summarize, the Maskona of this Sugya is that we don't find any sheet amongst the Chachamim that completely rejects the principle of Dayo. According to Rabbi Tarfon, we apply Dayo only in a case where there we can salvage the Kal V'Chomer. If we cannot salvage the Kal V'Chomer, then we freeze, we suspend the principle of Dayo in favor of the Kal V'Chomer, but we don't find any Tana that completely rejects, totally rejects the principle of Dayo. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here.